like sometimes the mic may have a humming.
No, these mics don't have any humming.
All right.
And, ladies, we are rolling and recording.
All right.
You may begin.
Hello, this is Tony Toe. Today is Tuesday, January 11, 2011, and I'm in the WILL radio studio for Letters to the Future. For the record, could you please tell us your name?
Irma Scott Bridgewater.
Thank you. Mrs. Bridgewater, what kept you in Champaign?
You mean after I finished school? I finished U of I in 37, and I didn't want to leave. I think I was too chicken to leave home. But other than that, I would say that I wanted to prove that I could find a decent job in Champaign. I could find a job comparable to the education I'd received at the university.
All right. And I believe, what job did you have after you left the U of I?
My first job when I finished school was a maid at Newman Hall. And the reason I went ahead and took it, I had tried to find something else, was because my parents had made quite a sacrifice to send me to school, and I wanted to be able to help out. So for about a year, I worked as a maid. Then the city of Champaign advertised for someone with a degree to work at Douglas Center, to be director of the newly formed program at Douglas Center, and I applied and got the job.
Oh, could you tell me about your experience at Newman Hall?
I was working under a woman who was mean. Well, anyhow, it was the job was $1.60 an hour, and it was something to do. I had done that kind of work before in order to make some money to help out to go to school, but it wasn't beneath me. I could do it.
Mm-hmm. And I believe there was a story you told at a YMW interview about that woman and how she was trying to teach you guys a lesson and she may take from your celery, was it? Did she take
from your celery? She always, when we got our when I got my paycheck, my money, the envelope was open. And she had taken part out because she felt she deserved that for teaching. And of course, I didn't like it. I didn't stay there very long either. Any longer than I had to.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so, the advertisement you said for Douglas Center, what was that about?
The Douglas Center program. Well, the Douglas Center was run by WPA, Works Progress Administration, which is one of the programs to help people to find work. And the city was taking it over in 1939, and the city of Champaign formed a Department of Recreation, and they were looking for somebody with a degree. The people who were working under WPA didn't have degrees, so they wanted someone with a degree. Mm-hmm. And my degree was not in recreation. It was in sociology with a minor in psychology. Mm-hmm. But I applied and got the job.
And why did you take sociology in college?
I started out in college wanting to be a PE teacher. Mm-hmm. And I didn't do too well. So I changed to sociology because I wanted to be a social worker. At that time, they were teaching sociology and not social work. But then in order to get to be a social worker, I had to take sociology. School of Social Work was formed about a year or so after I left, after I graduated.
All right. And what did you do what work had you begun when you started working with Douglas Center?
Well, I had a real problem because the people that were there knew the program. They knew what they were doing. And they were told that they should teach me the job. Well, you can imagine how they felt, and I understood it, trying to teach me. I have a degree, they don't, and they're teaching me the program, and I'm going to take over their job, so they didn't care much for me. And it was difficult for a while because they really made life hard for me. They sent me down to play with the kids, little kids on swings. And I complained to the boss. And they allowed me then to go ahead and do some of the things that I already knew how to do, was like some of the crafts, knitting, and I could teach piano. And it was a bad experience, but then in another sense it was a good experience because I had to learn how to get along with people, and it ended up working out pretty well.
All right.
Excuse me, Mrs. Bridgewater, could you put that piece of paper down?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's just making.
Oh, I didn't. Better. I didn't realize it.
I didn't either, but I'm hearing it.
Okay, I'll sit still too.
Thank you. You're fine otherwise. Thank you.
All right. So, you are also the director of Douglas, I believe.
Yes.
All right. So, when did you become the director?
Well, when I went there, I was
really?
The director, and they were.
Yeah.
It was at that time, Douglas Center was a six-room house in the corner of the Douglas Park. And we had programs in the basement and upstairs and on the first floor, too.
All right. And so you went into that work because you wanted to be a social worker.
Well, at the time I went into that, I wanted a job, I guess, because I never did reach the social work part. My daughter did years later, but I didn't.
So what exactly came with your job as the director? What did you do?
Oh, I worked there until 1942, I guess it was, from 39 to 42. And I married in the meantime, and we decided to start a family, so I quit. And I went back a couple of times later.
So
after the children were a little older.
Okay. And you were also in community development.
Yes. I left Douglas Center finally when they decided they needed a man director, and which was all right. I had no problem with that because it meant that I would take care of the girls' program. But when it came time to get my paycheck, I find out that they reduced my salary in order to pay his. So I decided it was time for me to go. So at the age of 50, I was out looking for a job. Mm-hmm. I ended up at Courier, a newspaper, as proofreader. And that was for a year or so, and then I went back to the city for urban renewal.
How did your education prepare you for those jobs?
Well, the sociology did prepare me for working with people in the urban renewal program because my job was relocation, was to help them to find another home to. They had to sell, they sold their homes to the city. And then I helped them to find a house to live in.
In what other ways were you prepared to take on the jobs, such as working with Douglas and community development, other than the education you had acquired?
I didn't quite.
In what other ways than your education were you prepared to take on those jobs at Douglas and in community development?
Well, that was about it through my education and the fact that I'd lived here all my life. I knew the people that I was going to be working with, a good many of the people that I was going to, that I worked with the Urban Renewal Program. Mm-hmm.
How was your college experience in sociology?
It was interesting. One of the courses I had that really was a help to me was a course in marriage. It was the first time they had given the course. And I learned quite a few things that I was able to use when I did get married, mm-hmm. which was a few years after I finished school. But I learned some of the problems that could come up in marriage, such as problems with money and so forth. And that was a great help.
I believe you attended Lincoln School first through seventh grade?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. And you and your brother were the only African-Americans to attend that school at the time?
Yeah, we attended neighborhood schools at that time, mm-hmm. which to me was, which and looking at it years later, was really worthwhile because we went to school with the people that we were around, that we played with when we were at home. And it was easy for our parents to come to school if we were having troubles, mm-hmm. or to PTA meetings and so forth. Mm-hmm. So it was, we attended neighborhood school.
So how was the experience at that school? It was integrated, right? But because of...
Well, they were, as I say, we were the only black children there. Mm-hmm. And we had the usual problems. Mm-hmm. Paul being called the N-word. I remember a girl called me that, and I mm-hmm. jumped on her, and she whipped me. So I've never had a fight. That's the only fight I've ever had mm-hmm. in my life. Because she was bigger than I was. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't used to fighting.
What had kept you going on? Did you make any complaints when you went home, or did you just...
Yes, but my parents always said in those days, just ignore it. Just consider the source and ignore them. Some of the teachers were good, though. They sort of looked out for me. And one of the things that we had... I was pretty good in music, so I did have something that I felt like I could feel good about. We had music appreciation and I made good grades in that. And then the music teacher we had would call on me for to sing either soprano or alto, which made me feel pretty good. Mm-hmm. So,
in the interview from 2001, yeah, I believe, 4-1, it's one of those.
Okay.
You said you like music and that your father played a musical instrument.
Yeah, my father played saxophone. Mm-hmm. And I took piano lessons. And he organized a teenage orchestra. Mm-hmm. He had an orchestra with a jazz band. And he organized a teenage orchestra, and I played piano. And that was really where I met my husband. Mm-hmm. He played trumpet.
Oh. And so what grade or age were you? You said it was teenage orchestra.
Teenage, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And who? All right, so how was it? How could you share that experience, like the people and any special moments throughout that time?
Teenage. Well, one of the things I remember that probably is different from what goes on today is we had parties at each other's houses and had piano. Especially, we had the parties were usually at somebody's house that had a piano. And there were two or three people who could play a piano. And maybe, well, for me, I had one or two songs I could play. And we didn't have, we could dance to any kind of music, to three waltzes or foxtrot. Today, I don't know, it seems to me you have to have a certain piece to do a certain dance or something or other, mm-hmm. which was not true then. But we had nice parties.
Mm-hmm. You live, could you describe the neighborhood you lived in?
It was a mixed neighborhood. We were all poor people, but it was mixed with black and white. Mm-hmm. And there was a large field across the street from us, two or three lots, empty lots, and was a playground that was used by our church, Bethel AME Church. Had a playground there, and they had tennis and games, and the neighborhood was, as I say, was mixed only with there were two other black families, mm-hmm. in the neighborhood. On the street, one on the street we were on, and then there was another family, Hines family, on Charles Street. And another woman was going to move in there, in the next block from them. And the Ku Klux Klan decided that they were going to burn a cross in front of her house, and that was back in the 20s. And my father and some of the other black men decided to get guns and go up on railroad tracks. Mm-hmm. And but they never did do it. The mm-hmm. Ku Klux didn't go ahead and burn that cross. I don't know whether they scared them out or whether they just decided they didn't want any trouble, but it didn't happen.
Okay. So, also believe that at Lincoln, or maybe throughout your other grades, there are kids that didn't want to play with you, but the teachers would try to help with the situation. So were there particular grades, or were there certain times that it happened?
Well, it would be at recess time, mm-hmm. where they wouldn't want to hold our hand, hold my hand, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we just played games that they didn't want to hold our hands, but the teachers were usually stepped in some kind of way and helped out.
Why did you decide to go to college?
I didn't decide. My parents, it was just understood somehow or other that when I finished high school, in fact, they saw to it that I took college preparatory courses. Mm-hmm. And my dad worked at the university as a mailman. And I guess he wanted to see one of his children there. But I never thought of not going. Mm-hmm. And that's when I think one of the advantages of living in a college town like this, it just seems to be a normal thing to keep on and go on through school. And of course, it's much cheaper because you're living at home.
So earlier you just said you liked music class, and the teacher, it was music appreciation?
Mm-hmm.
And what did the teacher do in that class that you especially liked?
What they would do would play, this was classical music. They would play a portion of a classical number on Victrola, and we would have to write down the name of the composer and the suite that it was from and so on. And we had competition between schools, and I won at my own school, and then went to the city and was in the contest there. The only thing they could find wrong with my paper was that I had an extra hump on a M, and that I wasn't allowed then to go on to the state. Well, I think I've always felt, and my parents did too, that was just an excuse to keep me from going because mm-hmm. they didn't want me to go into state. But anyhow, I still had a perfect paper except mm-hmm. for that.
Mm-hmm. How has the U of I changed throughout your life?
Well, years ago, students had no place to live on campus. That was before the residence halls. And they lived in the community. They lived in housing with us and with in the North End community. And they were a part of our community because they attended the churches, and they had them get their meals. Usually, there were a few people who had boarding houses, and there were people who did their laundries and so on. So it was, they were we were together. You could hardly tell the difference between students and hometown. But when they, I think it was in the 40s that the residence halls were opened, and from then on they lived on campus, which is natural. In fact, some of the young people who went to school who lived here lived on campus to go to school. So that was one of the biggest changes.
Also, you said there was no place to eat on campus?
No. When I was in school, there were restaurants, but we weren't served in them. So what for lunch, usually because I'd be living here, I had my meals at home. But for lunch, I'd get a apple and a Mr. Goodbar. Mr. Goodbar, because they were big, and take it in the library to the restroom and eat. But then some of the students, the male students, worked in the sororities and fraternities as waiters, so they got their meals that way.
So how did you feel about finding a place that you could be, finding a place that you could eat? You said the library.
Well, it wasn't the best, of course, but it was the best I could do. Mm-hmm. It was either that or carry a greasy bag around classes to lunchtime, which I wouldn't do. And I could have gone home, except that the time was, you know, it would take too long to get back and forth.
Were you able to be a part of any sororities or fraternities?
Yeah, I'm a member of AKA sorority.
What sorority?
Alpha Kappa Alpha. Mm-hmm. I joined my sophomore year.
Mm-hmm. And how was that?
It was nice because to be included and in the... They didn't take us, usually the town people, they didn't take in the first year. I guess they wanted to make sure we were going to stay in school, so it was not until my sophomore year that I joined. At that time, they had a house on Stoughton Street. That's where the sorority was.
Yeah. You said there'd be parties, and that's where the fun was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It, they had spring dances and so on. And the fraternity was Kappa. And they had a house, too, on Clark Street. And the Alphas had one. I've forgotten now where it was. Omegas did, too, for a while.
In what grade did you take swimming? Or was it a summer class?
It was in high school. Mm-hmm. And I think it was about the last year in high school. There were five of us that wanted to take swimming, and girls didn't swim in regular class time. We black girls didn't swim in regular class time. They made a class after school for us after our parents complained about it. And they had students that were some of the better students to teach us. And they didn't care whether we learned or not, but it didn't stop me from wanting to learn to swim. And when I got to college, I had to swim for PE, had to swim for swim the length of the pool. Then I didn't swim anymore until I retired from work, and I've been swimming ever since then. In fact, I swam a mile on my 95th birthday.
Really? That's nice. So you hadn't had any experience in swimming before that?
Just the little bit that I had in high school.
How were your 8th grade and high school experiences?
We had 8th grade downtown, just in a building that was north of the post office, the old post office. And there was no cafeteria there. So for lunchtime, we had to, well, some of them could go to, the white kids could go to Kresge's and Woolworth's downtown and eat at the counter. But we could only buy it there and had to take it someplace else to eat. My uncle was a chiropodist, and he had an office downtown, so I was able to go there and eat. Yeah. Take my lunch and eat.
And what was the 8th grade school?
It was downtown on Randolph Street. It was just north of the old post office. And all schools went to the same 8th grade. Mm. And it was called Central School then.
And is that the Central School that turned into Central High?
No. It isn't. I went to high school at what is now Edison. Mm-hmm. And then later Central was built at Central High. But this other school was much smaller. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. How come there was just one building for all 8th grade?
Well, you see, there weren't that many of us. Oh. There weren't that many schools, really.
See.
It was Colonel Wolfe and Lincoln. The schools were in neighborhoods, but there weren't nearly as many people as there are now.
Oh, all right. So you went to Edison, and that was the high school.
That was the high school.
All right. Do you remember when Centennial and Central High arrived?
Central was first. I remember my son went there the first year that it was built, the first year it was open. My oldest son. And I don't know exactly what year that was, though. But he was there 4 years and he finished in 60, so sometime in the 50s, I guess.
How did the city welcome the two high schools?
Pardon?
How did the city welcome those two high schools?
Very well, because they were both needed, of course. Mm-hmm. Central was much larger than Edison, of course. Mm-hmm. And then they needed another one out. I think Jefferson and Centennial were built along about the same time.
And was it because the population
increased?
Oh, all right.
And then the population was moving west to western part of the city.
All right. Did you think there should have been more built, or is there enough?
No, I think they came along just about when they should have.
So not no mm-hmm. more high no. schools, just two.
Yeah,
main ones.
Two. It seems to me to be enough.
Oh, from my last week interview with Mr. Tolson, Mr. Robert Tolson, he said there was a park built after your family.
Yeah, it was named after, it was a lot on the corner of Market Street, Market and Bradley, and it was named for Bridgewater Park.
Mm-hmm. And how did that come about?
I don't know, because I went, they invited me there one night, and they told me that they were naming that mm-hmm. park for, well, actually, there was another park named for another person who worked. We were the first people who were employed by the city. I guess they wanted to mm-hmm. give us some kind of honor. Unrich Park is another one.
Mm-hmm. So would you describe the park? Like how?
It's small. It's a one lot, and it's on the corner. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. It looks nice. I don't know whether it's used very much or not. Not as a park. Might be a place to sit down and rest for a minute.
Mm-hmm. I believe there's a taxi company called the Harrison Dixon Taxi Cab Company.
That was back in the 20s and 30s.
Mm-hmm.
It was a taxi cab mm-hmm. company on Main Street, and one of the main purposes or programs they had was to take women to work that worked on campus, cooked on campus,
mm-hmm.
and they went, had to go early in the mornings, and they picked them up.
Mm-hmm. Had you ever taken any of those taxis?
Yeah, before? Going from when we lived on Ells Avenue, it was quite a distance to get to church and so on, mm-hmm. to Northport Champaign. Mm-hmm. So at times we did ride them.
Did you ever take it when you had to go to Newman?
Hmm?
When you were employed at Newman?
Oh, no, I walked there.
Oh, all right.
Across the tracks and so on.
Okay.
Just like I walked to school.
Hmm. And also, in 1924, there was a train station to have been built. Do you know any details about that train station?
That was where we would go after dances or parties to, that was the only place we could go to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And that was late at night, or when we should have been at home probably. Stopped by there for a bite.
And were there other places you may have spent a lot of time, like maybe hanging out with friends, or just because you felt like going a special place?
It was usually at the end of a date or an evening or something,
mm-hmm.
to before going home or something, just to spend some more time, mm-hmm. to be out a little longer.
Mm-hmm. Now I have questions about Champaign. Oh, wait, one more thing I wanted to ask you after the schools. So, do you believe the living environment you grew up in or even the schools you had attended may have led to the living you made for yourself?
Well, yeah, I'm sure they did. Yeah. The I had the advantage of being in a school that was integrated with, they had good programs, I'll put it that way, for the students, and of course I happened to be one of them, because as I say, the neighborhood schools meant that they were the better schools.
So, how has Champaign changed throughout the decades?
Well, in the beginning, most of the black people lived north of Washington Street. And as time has gone on, they've moved so that they're university more farther down. But with urban renewal and community development programs, they moved clear out of the area to where there were pockets of black people. Usually if somebody sold a house to one, then that changed the whole area and other people moved into. But that was during, with the urban renewal program, people wanted to move clear out of the area. Mm-hmm. And community development was a little different because they wanted to stay in the area and sort of stay together. And some of the houses were moved out of the bad area into lots and that were opened up in other parts of the city, other parts of the north end, north part of the city. Mm-hmm. And we found out that when we started moving people and looking for homes, new homes for them or different homes, that there were some houses on that real estate agents wouldn't show to black people, and we hadn't really learned that before that time. But they moved out into various areas of the city.
And what was it like to live in Champaign?
I think it's been wonderful. I didn't want to live anyplace else, of course, but one of the main things about it is that you've got the university, and if you want to see an opera, you can go there, see them. You got jazz programs, just about, and theater. It hasn't, to me, Champaign has a lot to offer.
Mm-hmm. And what do you envision Champaign to be like in the year 2060? That's about 50 years from now.
You know, I've been trying to think about that, and the way things are changing, they're going so fast, some of the things that I would think would be later on or happening now. I guess I feel that way because I'm not into all these, the Facebook and all that sort of thing yet. Mm-hmm. I say yet. I might decide to get excited about it, but mm-hmm. not right now. But I can't imagine where we could go from here. I don't have much of an idea. If we keep on progressing, go to the moon, maybe. Individually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What advice would you offer future residents of Champaign?
I have a little thing that I feel. I think what has helped me is I have set goals for myself. I keep a positive attitude, and I definitely believe in Philippians 4:13 of the Bible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I read Norman Vincent Peale's Power of Positive Thinking, so I really don't, I do try to keep thinking positively. In fact, so positive that I have been corresponding with a young man who, well, young man, he's in his 40s, who was in prison, and he says he will be out in 2013, mm-hmm. and I'll be 100 years old in 2013. So I'm looking forward to meeting him, who we've never met, mm-hmm. to meeting him and having lunch with him in 2013. Mm-hmm. So that is being positive.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. What do you like about Champaign?
Aside from university, I don't know. I just like, naturally, I like the people. Of course, I've grown up with a good many of them, seen some of them leave me behind. But I just, it's progressed. For instance, when I was younger, our streets were muddy. And I've seen that change. I've seen more interest taken in our part of town. Seen a lot of new homes in the new area over there, Dr. King Addition, plus the new additions in Urbana. And I think Champaign-Urbana has come a long way.
A sheet of local landmarks and historic districts in Champaign. Would you like to, if you have any memories you'd like to share about any of those?
Orpheum Theater. Mm-hmm. We sat, our place in the Orpheum Theater was in the two rows in the back downstairs. Whereas in the Park Theater, we were in the front two rows. When I say we, I mean black people. Mm-hmm. That's where we sat. There's an interesting thing about the Virginia Theater. We had to sit in the balcony, last two seats in the balcony. And we used to tease the ushers, mm-hmm. and run, you know, go down farther down where we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
But this year, the Douglas Center seniors are presenting a program at the Virginia, from the bidders box to the White House, mm-hmm. and so. To me, I can see where we have gone from the balcony, the last two rows in the balcony, to the stage. And the play was written by Marilyn Cleveland, and she's a senior. And the actors in the play are seniors. Mm-hmm. And it'll be presented in February at the Virginia Theater. So that's one of the nice things I know about the Virginia. Salem Baptist Church is down the street from the church I belong to, which is Bethel. It's the second oldest church in black church in Champaign. That's about it.
No. And last off to conclude, is there anything that you've been wanting to say that maybe I didn't ask about, something you'd really like to share?
I remember when I was when I did the thing with about the schools, one of the things I'd forgotten to say was that we had field day at the end of the school years, grade school years, with competition between the schools. We also had colors for our school, and we had a song, and ours was based on Ain't We Got Fun, and that was one of the things I had intended to tell before when I was interviewed about schools.
All right, I'm done. Yeah.